Hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry that we do on this radio station at 8:30 every morning, Monday through Friday. We also play these messages and the other ones of the week at the Wash and Word. And the Wash and Word is our car washing business located in the Palace Shopping Center in Church Hill. And we play all of these messages weekly on a loop. They play over and over again throughout the day. And if you come by the Wash and Word and you're getting your car washed or you're waiting for it to be washed, or even if you're just in the parking lot within 150 feet of the building, you turn your radio to 107.1 FM and you'll hear these messages and others being broadcast throughout the day. We are a verse-by-verse ministry. My name is Matthew Monona. My wife, Victoria, and I, we run and own and operate the Wash and Word, and that is our financial way of earning money to support this ministry and our personal needs along with the business. And you can support us by simply coming by and letting us wash your car. Now, as a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, that's what we do here first. And the car washing aspect, well, that's just an avenue for God to pour, to allow us to receive money to support this ministry. Now, we are going verse by verse through the book of John, the Gospel of John. We are in chapter 5, and we ended with our last message talking about Jesus telling the man, the crippled man, to get up and pick up his mat and to walk. And we talked about how Jesus deals in the impossible and how we can line our lives up with the Lord, getting rid of our own power and our own strength, transferring our faith in ourselves, that is, in our ability to transform or overcome a sin or an addiction or even to obtain a healing. And we transfer faith in ourselves to faith in the Son of God. And we read in John 14:14 that you may ask for me for anything in my name and I will do it. And so in that scripture, along with 1 John 5:14, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And I wanted to look at that a little bit closer because we have a lot of people running around claiming that all we have to do is say in Jesus' name and it will be done. And that's not entirely true, because in that second scripture we just read, 1 John 5:14 says that if we ask anything according to God's will, he hears us. So there's a difference there. Now, we do pray in Jesus' name, and we are right to do that because, well, sadly, people think that just because we do it that way, we are manipulating God, and that's how we get God to do what we want. That's not even close to true. To pray in God's will, or according to God's will, is to pray in Jesus' name, because Jesus is the will of God personified. And often we cry out, oh, I wish I knew God's will for my life. Well, Jesus is the answer. What is God's will for this decision that I have to make? Jesus is God's will. In other words, we put our faith in Christ. We read the Bible. We understand the Bible. We know the Bible because we want to know what Jesus did. Yeah, and I hate to be cliche, what would Jesus do? Well, there's a reason that became so popular, because what Jesus does is the will of the Father. And so if we emulate Christ's thinking and Christ's actions, and we emulate the things Christ did, then we will indeed be in his name or in his will. And so looking at a couple of things that Jesus translated in this answer to him, and we read last teaching that, you know, Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured, picked up his mat and walked. And we looked at the first of the application points of that one verse, and that was to the fact that Jesus proclaims the impossible. The second application of this section where he's answering the man, Jesus removes the possibility of backsliding. How many of you have ever gotten rid of something in your life only to find yourself doing it again down the road? The possibility of backsliding is ever present. If you completely clean out your house, it's still present. But so often we leave things around or we continue to frequent places that are associated with the thing that we are trying to give up or remove. How often do we leave an unclean thing or store it away just in case? You know, someone might claim, I'm not going to cheat on my spouse anymore, but I'll save this phone number just in case. Or I won't smoke pot or do this drug anymore, but I'm going to keep this pipe around, you know, just in case of a disaster. I remember when I first got saved, I turned over all my heavy metal music, but I kept some of it. And because I had kept some of it, I kept going back to it. And the reason Jesus told him to pick up his mat was to allow the man to not have a remnant of what once was for him to slide back into. Allowing a remnant of sin to remain would be like burying seeds in the hopes of getting rid of them. You get that? I mean, could you imagine? That'd be like trying to bury fertile seeds in the ground and then saying to yourself, oh, I got rid of them. I buried those. They're out of my life now. No. When you bury a seed, what happens? Of course, it grows. So if you're waiting on a healing issue for your leg, for instance, throw away the crutches. Don't have them lying around in case, just in case you need them. Trust in the Lord for a full healing. If you are trying to overcome an addiction, remove all that paraphernalia. To this man, he said, take up your mat and go. Don't leave your mat here, because if you do, you may be tempted to come back because it was comfortable here and you had regulars giving you things and you had, you know, the equivalent translation of that would be, you know, maybe you're not going out to get a job because you're comfortable on food stamps and the government's giving you unemployment and, you know, it's time to step up and get rid of those things completely. But you might say, radio teacher, what if I do that and I'm not healed? What if I get rid of my crutches in faith and then I'm not healed? I'm going to fall down. Maybe. But listen, sometimes failure is the back door to success. Besides, there's worse things than falling down. You know, when you're trying to improve your life and you're trying to walk closer with the Lord, some bridges are just meant to be burnt. And I think somebody needed to hear that today. To experience freedom, that is freedom indeed, we must put to death every aspect of the thing at hand. We must burn it all in the all-consuming fire. And to do otherwise leaves the door ajar. And the Bible says that the devil only needs a foothold. You ever see in a movie, somebody's at the door and somebody answers it and they don't want to talk to that person and they try to close the door quick and the person on the other side of the door just slips their foot in and then they can't shut the door. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says the devil just needs a foothold. Just have that door cracked open a little bit. If you leave something around, that is a foothold. So not only does Jesus proclaim the impossible, and not only does he remove the possibility of backsliding, but Jesus also makes no provision for an alternative. Remember, he said, pick up your mat and walk. He says, do the impossible, leave no trace or paraphernalia or evidence behind. That is the get up and the pick up part. And then he says to walk. You see, he made no provision for an alternative. He said, well, see if you can get to the end of the pool or the end of the colonnade. See if you can, you know, just take a few steps today and a few steps tomorrow. There's no provision for an alternative. Jesus is saying, do the impossible, leave no trace behind, and move on. And this last step, friends, is vital to overcoming. Because even if you and I rise up against our sins or our shortcomings, and even if we burn all of the things that are connected or associated with it, if we stay, if we wallow around in the same place too long, we're going to fall back in. You know, if you wallow around in the mud long enough, you will become a pig. As an old quote says, that bad company corrupts good character. Or as a grandmother once put it, someone asked her why she works in the... No, she said that you don't work in the garden with white gloves on because it doesn't make the soil white. The soil makes the white gloves dirty. I could probably butcher that a little bit more, but that's probably about as butchered as you can get. But I think you get the idea. So in replying, after Jesus says that once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and he walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Verse 10, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and the law forbids you to carry your mat. But the man replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. Now this healing Jesus did, he actually planted a seed here. He did this on a Sabbath, and Jesus planted a seed that would later grow up to be a full-grown cross. You see, it was the Sabbath healing here that planted a seed for his ultimate demise. Because he did the same thing. He healed a crippled man in Matthew chapter 12. And when he healed that crippled man's hand, that set the course of events that led to his crucifixion. At that point, from that point on, the Pharisees sought to seek his death. So even here in this early stage of his ministry, Jesus was nurturing, planting, and growing the cross because he knew why he was there. He knew why he had come. Now, John is starting a new path here, a path that ultimately is going to lead to the cross. And this is where the rejection is first born. It's so very convenient when something or someone comes against us that we already dislike. It's easy because, well, we don't really care what they have to say. And Jesus didn't care that these Pharisees were coming against him. It's not like they were competition for Jesus. But this was the seed that Jesus was planting. And he did this on purpose because it was a legitimate complaint that these Pharisees would be able to take against him. You know, Jesus didn't, like subtly work his way towards the cross. No, he was putting everything into his mission of going to the cross. And 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And you see, that right there shows the hardness of heart in these Pharisees. It shows really what was wrong with the Mosaic law as it pertained to the nation of Israel in that time. Because instead of rejoicing with this man's joy, they simply wanted to know who was it that violated one of their rules. Jesus didn't hide. In fact, he's the one who initiated his road to the cross. And instead of these men rejoicing with the man who got healed, they were looking to place some kind of blame. And they wanted to know, who did this to you? Why are you carrying your mat? The Sabbath forbids it. And the man replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. This man obeyed the man who made him well. And what about you? Are you still fumbling around in life doing your own thing, even as a Christian? Listen, the man Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, made you well. Who are you going to obey? I recommend you obey him. And on that note, we invite you to come back tomorrow to listen to more verse-by-verse teaching. We'll pick it up again in verse 12. And until then, We hope to see you over at the Washington Word, the Palace Shopping Center in Churchill. And you have a blessed day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.